Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Pellegrini Financial and IPC Investment Corporation first quarter conference call, Perception versus Reality. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Ryan Morcom. Please go ahead, Mr. Morcom.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us here. And I would like to, I guess, start off at the top here, where the title of this, Perception versus Reality, was really meant, obviously, for the market conditions we were in through the first quarter. But obviously kind of ties in nicely, too, to what happened here last night from the election standpoint, where perception of another PC coronation was, in reality, an obliteration, I guess. And it kind of ties into the federal budget as well, which has a lot of goodies in for us taxpayers. But the perception of a balanced budget versus reality, which is really not, kind of ties into that as well, too. Where perception versus reality really ties into the markets is we're through the first part of the year, and as I was sitting down with clients and going through portfolio reviews or having discussions with other people, there, you know, at that point, of course, there was a lot of doom and gloom in the conversation because of the price of oil. And in Alberta, of course, we feel that first and foremost. And you saw that with government deficits, budget cutbacks, layoffs or wage rollbacks. And, you know, in that respect, yes, we feel it first and foremost here in Alberta. Yet everywhere outside of Alberta, low oil is really a welcome boon in many ways. And that also reflected in what the performance of the markets were doing. And, you know, again, clients or people I were talking to were really under the expectation maybe that markets were doing poorly as well. Yet in reality, it was not. Markets were actually very strong, particularly through January and February this year, where the beginning of the year, there were very strong months. And where, yes, we kind of flattened out, I guess, in March. But the performance through that time was very good, which was, again, just almost an exact opposite of what clients or people were expecting. So from that standpoint, that was great. I mean, obviously, markets were good. People always welcome that. And, you know, where that, I guess, started from really was the equity markets themselves were strong throughout the global economies. Now, obviously, within that, we had sectors that didn't do well, like energy. But beyond that, markets were very strong. On the fixed income side, again, there were solid positive returns. And in Canada here, the fixed income market probably performed better than the Canadian equity market. Both are up, but fixed income held its own quite well. And currently, you know, we're probably heading into more of a mixed bag marketplace. And we'll get into that maybe towards the end of our conference call. How that performance, I guess, laid out geographically, we, again, in Canada, we had a positive market, but eked out just nominal gains in the equities. Obviously, energy and the material markets were down significantly. What returned positively, I guess, were specifically the healthcare and tech sectors. You'll see that theme kind of goes throughout each sector of the geographic world. U.S. was probably certainly a stronger market. And again, where maybe energy and the materials markets were down and negative through that first quarter. But healthcare and technology led very good, strong gains. You saw the same thing in Europe. And you saw the same thing in Asia, where again, equity markets far outperformed across the board. And that's where, again, where we saw the gains through the first part of the year. That's probably where the bigger part of the disconnect was from what people were feeling and thinking in Alberta to what was happening everywhere else across the investment marketplace. And like I said, those are the themes of where the markets performed. And we had seen our allocations within the portfolios, underweight energy materials and be overweight everything pretty much outside of that. And that's obviously the kind of things that we want to see from our managers. And we're good in good market calls, I guess, for that period of time. Inflation-wise, we've talked about inflation through every call, I guess, and the positive, I guess, of a low oil marketplace is energy costs really have a direct impact in every sector of the economy, whether it's cheap fuel or cheap energy, and that really reflected in an inflation rate that was pretty much nominal, I guess, through this first quarter, probably to the extent where there's also deflationary issues when you look to areas like Europe or areas like Japan. And so at this point, inflation really is not on the horizon for any central bank or concern for any government at this point. How that ties into interest rates? Well, again, interest rates is one tool used to fight back on inflation. Well, that's not an issue. So at this point, again, interest rates remain at very low levels. Here in Canada, we obviously had a surprise interest rate cut at the very beginning of the year in January. Some, I guess, pundits would view that cut as being maybe not necessary at that point in time. I think Governor Pelosi here at the Bank of Canada used that as kind of a preemptive strike against what the price of crude oil was doing in the marketplace, and that what the energy market was expected to do to our Canadian economy. Because that will have a detriment to our market in Alberta, but also in Canada as a whole. And so, yes, we did see that interest rate cut. How much of that filtered down to the end consumer? Well, probably the full cut didn't quite get down to the end user, but it did make the cost of borrowing cheaper. Should we expect any further rate cuts in Canada? Probably not at this point. Will we see interest rates rise? Well, obviously here in Canada, no. In the U.S., there is still an expectation that rates will rise towards the end of this year. If there is any rate increases, they'll be nominal at best. And I think at this point, they won't have any kind of dramatic impact on the marketplace. Rates in other parts of the world, I guess, where we look to Europe in particular, they can always go lower, but that's an environment right now where there's actually negative interest rates through a number of European countries. And everyone would always wonder how and why that could ever happen. It can, and it has, and really it's meant to those specific economies where the banks of those central banks of those countries are really trying to force money into the economy, right? They don't want it sitting in a bank. They don't want it to be sitting idle. And that's one reason why you get those negative interest rates. And it is a reality. Again, perception-wise, you think, well, how can that ever happen? Well, it can, and it has. Part of that ties into where, I guess, currencies are, currency market as well. And we've seen where the Canadian dollar, of course, has been under pressure through the last year or more. I guess to this point, we've seen the Canadian dollar go to probably what its lowest point has been. We went to the mid kind of high 70s. Now we've been climbing back up through the last few weeks. That was probably a reflection of the dollar being oversold for a period of time. Now it's coming back a little bit to where it should be and higher. I mean, it probably should be higher than where it's at currently. And right now we're in the low 80s. Much of that really was a reflection of, again, the world economies all running to the U.S. dollar, because in the grand scheme of things, the U.S. dollar was really the safe haven currency still, and where markets were basically running to the U.S. And contrary to that part of it, I guess, is the fact that every other central bank, for the most part, whether it's Europe, whether it's Japan, in many respects, it's a race to the bottom with their own currencies. Everyone's trying to deflate their own currency to help prop up their own economy, especially in Europe and especially in Japan. Both of those regions have embarked on their own quantitative easing programs, meaning that they're printing money. And that's, you know, kind of a follow-up, I suppose, to where the U.S. had done that over the last few years. They've, you know, their quantitative easing program ceased a year ago now, or just about. Europe has just embarked on theirs. Japan has been on theirs for some time now, I guess. And again, that's part of the currency war that we're seeing in the global marketplace. Like I said, that all ties into why the U.S. dollar was as strong as it was, and partly why, you know, the Canadian dollar was pummeled. That, and of course, the price of oil, and that had a big effect on our own currency. Commodity-wise, you know, again, oil is the big one in our world, and we've seen now, you know, the price of oil come back to over $60 a barrel. Have we seen the lows of oil, or was back to, I guess, the mid-40s here in the middle of March? Probably. You know, I think the big thing there is the fact that, you know, oil probably tested its lows. The supply glut that is still in the marketplace has sort of eased off. I think the biggest thing is you've seen a number of the rig counts, of course, in the U.S. and Canada drop significantly. And while production will still increase probably faster than the supply, increasing faster than what demand is currently, that will begin to tighten up or taper off as these rig counts, of course, come into play. That will affect what future production is going to be coming on board, and obviously that's going to drop at some point. And that's usually a good 6-9 month lag. And so as you go through the summer months, those supplies and demand issues will tighten up to where now oil can sustain itself at that at level and continue to appreciate in value, which we would expect it to be. And again, probably heading to $70-$75 towards the end of the year is probably a realistic price. In Alberta, one positive, of course, is we've had obviously the dollar, lower dollar was good for oil companies who sell their production in U.S. dollars. So that helped to alleviate some of the low oil prices that we were seeing. Also, the bitumen bubble that was a big thing 2 years ago still exists, but the spread now is narrowed down to where maybe it's an $8 discount per barrel, far below where it was at $30 or $40 2 years ago. So, again, that's another positive for our economy here locally and for our oil companies here in Canada. Gold, which is always a big topic for everyone, I think. We've seen gold hold its own now really for some time at this $1,200 an ounce. It's become probably more prevalent in some portfolios where gold is a stronger or bigger holding. Not so much as, if nothing else, I guess maybe more of just a hedge against what we might be seeing in the marketplace going forward. Gold, like I said, there's probably some upside to it. Probably nothing in the near term, but I think as time goes by or through the course of the rest of this year, if nothing else, like I said, it's held off either dropping below that $1,200 mark. So we've seen gold be a bit more prevalent in the portfolios. I think other commodities, you know, they don't play a big part, I guess, in the mixture, but from an investment standpoint, but, we've seen base metals go through, I think, a bit of a bottoming out here this first quarter of the year. We've seen some bounce back in the prices of nickel and copper and so on. Those are, as a whole, positive signs for an economic recovery. The one, I think, harbinger that still is out there that, the perception, I guess, is that the Asian economy, China in particular, is still soft. Those are still difficult numbers to get from an economy like China. But clearly it's not going to be the same growth that it had in the previous decade. And so you're not going to see, I think, the demand for commodities that we once had a couple of years ago. I think where the outlook is going forward, we've seen, I think, the market starting to flatten off here in March, a bit of a pullback here in April, and I expect we'll see that carry on through the month of May here for the near term. As a whole, I think we still view everything as being in a bull market. And this little pullback here of late is probably a welcome sign considering the jump that we had in the markets here for the first 2 months of the year. Like I said, as a whole, everything has still remained positive. Like I said, this little pullback is probably a welcome sign and something we should expect here over the next little while. Where it comes down to longer term, I think, is what the economic strength or health is of corporations, not just here in Canada, but U.S., Europe. And I think we've seen, again, a little bit of softness in some of the corporate earnings. I think that's more of a reflection of some of the weaker environment that we had through the course of the winter. I think the expectation is that much of that will turn around here through spring and summer, and eventually that reflects in corporate earnings and prices that you see in the stocks. So at this point, I think, what we're seeing right now is just where the market was probably to some degree overextended, being pulled back a little bit to where it should be, and that's probably a welcome sign. I think future growth now is going to be incumbent on where we see the economic health of corporations through this next quarter and following. And at this point, like I said, all signs are turning to the economy still improving in Europe, in the U.S. And I would expect here in Canada that the worst is over at this point, and that as that passes through, well, obviously the environment will continue to improve, and that will reflect in corporate balance sheets and eventually the stock market. So with that, I think I'll wrap that up. Obviously, if you have any questions, certainly feel free to call in and speak to Perry or myself. We'll have this call again here on playback on our website. So in the next week or so, hopefully you'll get a notice on that. And also, if you have a chance, you obviously check into our resources on our website. Check into our e-newsletters. Good update on the federal budget that was announced here just a little while ago. Beyond that, thank you for joining us. And again, we'll talk again soon.